Sasol's net profit has nearly halved to 10 billion rand. This as its empowerment scheme has weighed on its bottom line, along with the stronger rand. Despite this, the company has declared a dividend of 7 rand 90, bringing the total payout to nearly 13 rand, reflecting a 2.4% increase. Bongani Mwababa, who's the joint CEO of Sasol, joins us in studio now to drill into the detail behind the numbers. Thanks so much, Bongani, for joining us today. So before we look to the future, despite revenue up a bit, rising 5% for the full year, we had net profit shrinking, as I say, by more than a half. So talk us through that weight that's being exerted on your bottom line.
Okay. On the macro side, the oil price on average was quite good on us, 28% up. But on the rand side, it was strong for the year, although it's a bit weaker now, 6% stronger. So that weight on the earnings. But the bulk of the impact came from fair measurements, which is means impairments of assets which have a lower value than what they have in the books. At half year, we would have spoken about the US assets, which were impaired by $83 million, and the Canadian assets by $281 Canadian. In the second half of the year, we impaired our Clove Annals or in Secunda, in Sasolburg, sorry, which is basically where we make the plastics for your piping for water. So that was $5.7 billion, which is a 3.7.
And that's the extent of the impairments that we're looking at.
Correct.
Okay, I want to focus on the rand because, like you say, over the period you've had a stronger rand to contend with, and that part of the pressure point we've seen over the more recent past, weakness filter through. In fact, the rand sitting about, I think, 17% softer from where we were at the start of this year. So how much impetus does that start to now give you with the oil price sitting at $72 a barrel?
It's positive for us because as we speak today, the rand per barrel price is just over 1,000, whereas during our financial year, it was just over 800. Mm-hmm. So the sensitivity thereof is that a 10 cents movement has an impact of 820 million rand on our earnings. So it's quite significant.
Absolutely. Well, we know that everything is on track with regards to your Lake Charles project in Louisiana, with the even costs now having stabilized. So on track to come in time and in line with budget, albeit a revised budget. So how long before that gets to full production?
We have already started commissioning now. On the 1st of August, we commissioned the steam plant and all the utilities, which is your electricity and so on, has already been commissioned. Now that we have commissioned the steam, the next part will be one of our earlier polymer plants, so-called the low-density polyethylene plant, which will come on stream in the fourth quarter this year. And then after that, it will be the cracker itself, and then followed by the ethylene oxide plant. So all those plants will come in before the end of calendar year. But we continue next year and commission more the specialty chemicals. So the whole commissioning will continue into the next financial year.
Competition, however, seems to be growing within that ethane space stateside. I mean, there's been mention of ExxonMobil, a Thai group as well, doing similar things. Yes, 2 years behind, but doing things nevertheless. So how much does a curveball, does that throw you? Because, you know, one assumes that it starts to tinker with the supply-demand metrics quite a bit, and one wonders whether there's enough of an ethane market to actually absorb what's anticipated to be a 35% increase in supply coming online.
Because if you look at the period between now and 2021, the market is pretty tight. The main reason for that is the global economic growth and the fact that China has banned import of plastics for recycling. Mm-hmm. So it increases the demand for polymers. So it's quite tight from that perspective. From 2022 to 2026, we see a slight softening, but thereafter the market will balance again. So we happen to be commissioning our plant just in time.
Okay, so not too worried about the competitive pressure on that. If you consider the future of South Africa and the future of Sasol, Bongani, what percentage of CapEx are you putting to work in South Africa in particular?
In South Africa at the moment, we spend about 20 billion rand per year, which is around $1.5 billion. The bulk of that, though, is sustenance capital, mainly on environment.
I ask the question because, you know, one is wondering at this point whether it's your operations outside of South Africa or within South Africa's borders that is going to be driving Sasol's growth over the next 10 years.
because of our footprint in South Africa, by definition, it's going to be global, because if we invest more here, we are likely to get into competition issues, because we already, as an example, produce 30% of the fuels in South Africa. So any more increase in that capacity would not stand us in good stead.
Is it competition issues aside that has driven this strategy? Because, you know, the question out there is whether your offshore investments is a way of the company growing by stealth your international operations more so, like BHP started to do 15 years ago in order to mitigate some of the local risk that we currently face.
Not at all. It's diversification of earnings, because at the moment, our earnings are normally around 68% from South Africa and the rest from abroad. Post the commissioning of the LCCP, it will be 50-50. But if we find opportunities in South Africa, we'll grow, because we've been open, for example, to say that we want to grow our retail business in South Africa. So if there is a big asset in the retail side of the business in years to come, we'll certainly grow into that space, because we produce 30% of the liquid fuels in South Africa, but we only have got 11% retail market share. The rest goes to our competition. We'll certainly want to increase the margin across the value chain.
For now, Bongani, very quickly, how much of a game changer is Louisiana and Lake Charles going to be for Sasol? Because we've, at this stage, got very differing views on what it actually spells for your earnings.
It's quite a significant game changer, because by financial year 2021, it will start contributing close to $1.3 billion to our earnings. So it's very significant.
Let's leave it there, Bongani. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. That, of course, Bongani Mababa, who's joint CEO of Sasol.